Welcome to Heart Health Radio with board-certified cardiologist and internal medicine specialist, Dr. Franklin Weefall.
Heart Health Radio. Heart Health Radio. Oh, oh, oh. HeartHealthRadio.com. Heart Health Radio.
Heart Health Radio is meant for information purposes only. Before taking any action, talk to your doctor.
Heart Health Radio, now a two-hour radio program. If you're tuning in on the radio in Raleigh, we're 2 hours. On the Apple Podcasts, we're a good 2 hours.
Yeah.
Dr. Franklin Weefald here in the studio. We're going to talk about medicine today. As opposed to last week, we talked about other stuff, home improvements. I don't know. Johnson & Johnson vaccine.
Yeah. Let me try to explain, because Detroit mayor.
Yeah.
Was going to get 65,000 doses of the J&J vaccine, and he turned them down. He said, don't bring them to Detroit.
He didn't.
Yeah. And I want to make sure everybody understands that the J&J vaccine is a wonderful vaccine. Now, what's the problem? Is that the Moderna and the Pfizer are supposedly 92% effective,
okay,
but the J&J is only 75% effective. Now, what does that really mean? Okay, in the studies that they did, they gave the vaccine to thousands of people, and they gave the vaccine, the placebo vaccine, to thousands of people. And of all the cases that people wound up in the study getting COVID, 92% were in the placebo group. Okay. So only 8% in the Pfizer and the Moderna group who got COVID had the vaccine.
Okay.
Now, J&J was behind in time.
Right.
So when they did their study of the people in the study who got COVID, 75% were in the placebo group and 25% were in the vaccine group.
Right.
But remember one thing. The J&J also was done in the South African variant era,
right,
and in the British variant era.
Right.
And so now we know that the Pfizer and J&J vaccine – no, the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines are less effective against those variants. So you can't really compare them. It's comparing apples to oranges, the oranges being those tough and nasty variants. Now – the most important thing to remember about any vaccine is that you can still get the illness. So flu vaccines, some year they're 75% effective.
Right.
Some year they're only 30% effective. But why should you get the vaccine anyway? Because if you've gotten the vaccine, on the by and by large, you get a less serious infection.
Right.
So the J&J had data that the Pfizer and Moderna can't match. And that is, the people who got the J&J vaccine had far fewer hospitalizations, but not only that, nobody died. So nobody died of the virus,
right,
who got the J&J vaccine.
So if I'm offered Johnson & Johnson's vaccine,
take it in a heartbeat.
Take it in a heartbeat.
A heartbeat.
Because it's as effective?
I think so. If you now – and again, unlike Dr. Fauci, I don't like to make predictions, because my major prediction about how bad this would be for this country was just totally wrong.
Right.
And I don't think people should be making predictions, because, I mean, this has just been a crazy pandemic where it's defied logic in some ways. But what I'm saying is, I'll bet you – and more than likely, that if they did the study now,
yes,
J&J versus Moderna, I bet they would be very similar. Because remember, the J&J was tested, tried and true before the South African variant was huge.
Right.
And the J&J got a ton of South African variant exposures during the trial.
Mm-hmm.
So – now, you know, what has Fauci said? He thinks that the Pfizer and Moderna are probably 75% effective against the South African variant. It's not 92%.
Right.
So the advantages of J&J, you don't have to store it at minus 80. And number two, it was proven 75% effective with one, as they say in Britain, one jab. They don't say shot.
Yeah, jab.
Jab. Take it.
Yeah.
And I think the Detroit, or do you say Detroit?
Detroit.
You say Detroit, I say Detroit.
Yeah.
I think he's wrong. I'm not going to give him the shame.
Right.
Because he's listening to quote-unquote experts that it's quote-unquote less effective.
Right.
But take it. If you can have it, and I would I choose it over Moderna? If whatever one I could get first.
Yeah.
So if you're out there listening, don't believe the people who say it's less effective. If you get the J&J vaccine, you're going to be in that group who got a vaccine and not died from COVID. And that's amazing
right.
when you think about it.
We're still losing 1,400 people a day.
That's just awful.
Although our numbers are down. This is nationally.
Yeah, they're going down.
The numbers are going down, but it's still high like it was October.
Terrible. It's terrible.
You know what I mean?
This winter surge was worse than anybody predicted, I think.
Right.
I mean, you know, they all said when we all finally get together and sing the Christmas carols and all that. Did you have a Christmas party?
No.
I didn't either.
No. Yeah. No, we did not.
Yeah, what we did in the office, we had the best Christmas party. So a year, not this past year, but a year before, we rented out American Legion Hall.
Yeah.
And we had a DJ, and we had, you ever seen a photo booth?
Sure.
Yeah, where you can dress up in these costumes, and it's a mirror called the Magic Mirror.
Yeah.
And we danced and everything. I missed that.
Right.
So that's one of the things that I hope we can get back to soon, because we're a social, you know, animal. We love to get together. Why? Because that's how we get a large part of the wonder in our lives, mm-hmm. is being social animal.
All right. So on today's show, we're going to talk about a prediction from Dr. Fauci that the vaccine might have a limited lifespan, that is, you're protected for a certain period of time and not afterward. We're going to talk about women's symptoms, good news about migraines, and we're going to talk about the idea that doctors are becoming dog groomers. Now, when I saw the headline for this, doctors becoming dog groomers, what could that – and business – The business of being a doctor is taking a hit.
Well, it's coming back. I used to see 40 people on average a day.
Yeah.
I'm up to 30. But during the bad – and I still probably get 6-7 cancellations a day.
Really?
And it's from people who are, number one, exposed or at high risk or symptoms. And those people who say, look, I'm not ready to come back to the office because I'm afraid you're going to get it now. I'm going to get it from somebody. And we are very careful. Okay, so we call everybody and we ask them if they've had COVID-like symptoms in the last 15 days.
Mm-hmm.
And if they've been exposed, if they've had any reason to get a COVID test and what that COVID test showed. So we screen very carefully. Now, we're doing something that we thought would be effective but is not really effective, and that's taking temperatures when they come in. And so you slide open the glass door, you stick your head through, and we put that infrared thing on your forehead. Oh, okay. But the only people who have gotten in my office and been COVID positive were asymptomatic. So they answered no to all the questions.
Right.
Except one person lied.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
And they went to church, and the church had 15 people test positive. And then they came and said, well, I didn't think I should have to tell you that because I don't have any symptoms.
Uh-huh.
So I swabbed her and she was positive. Now, nobody got COVID in my office. Not one single person has been traced to my office getting COVID. And for a while there, before I got the vaccine, I was testing myself every week because the last person in the world I wanted to be the asymptomatic carrier.
Oh, yeah.
I was seeing 30 people a day. And so I wear my mask in the office. It's very difficult now because I have to read lips in order to really understand.
Right.
And so every now and then I'll ask somebody to take their mask down so I can understand what they're saying. High frequency hearing loss is a terrible thing.
I know it.
And that's what I have. The neurons in my high frequency receptors are dead. And, you know, that's been – people have discovered that they have hearing loss during COVID.
Yeah.
Because they can't understand what people are saying. And they don't realize they were using lip reading to also understand along with the sounds.
Why would doctors become dog groomers?
Okay. So if you look at radiology, for example, radiology is dependent upon elective studies. So elective CT scans, elective MRIs, elective X-rays when you ache. And some practices are down 40% in their elective studies. So there's a woman in California who was in a big radiology practice, and she was last hired, first let go. Now she's on a furlough. So she said, well, you know, there's all these online radiology practices where I can sit in my office and they send something from India or they send something from Africa and on the internet, and I can read the study, and then I can send it back.
Okay.
So she quit after being enrolled in this program because she was supposed to read 9,200 studies for $2,000 a month. Now, on the average, a radiologist, for example, gets $80 for a CAT scan. Now, that's what the radiologist gets. The radiology practice for a CAT scan gets $1,000. I mean, that's why there are independent radiology practices not associated with the hospital, because the hospital will get the facility fee or the technical fee, and the radiology practice will get the technical fee plus an additional physician's fee. So, for example, when I do an ultrasound of the heart, I get a whole lot more than if I'm in the hospital reading the studies because the hospital gets it. So even if you look at the smaller physician's fee, she would have gotten $920,000 on average from reading 9,200 studies. I don't know any radiologist in my social group or business group or practice region who reads 9,200 studies a month. It's ridiculous.
Right.
She got 2,000 for it. So she quit. And now she's a mom and she's homeschooling her kids. There are several physicians who were in emergency rooms. Believe it or not, everybody thinks emergency rooms are rock solid packed. They're not. And urgent care centers?
Right.
Way down. Some are not way down, but a lot of them are. So these doctors are being furloughed. And so what are they doing? They're working in, what are they working in? Dog grooming places. They're working in hardware stores. They're working, you know, any job they can get.
You pull up to the drive-thru, and there's your kid's pediatrician.
Well, you remember Elvis? I know Elvis is alive because I saw him at the drive-thru. Well, now I know my doctor's still alive because he handed me my fries and then had a touchless payment system. You know,
Wait a minute. If my cardiologist was at the drive-thru, he wouldn't say, would you like fries with this? He would probably say something like, Mr. Alexander, I don't think you really want fries with this.
We have sliced apples.
Right. We have healthier options
available
for you.
When I take my kids – I took them, they were young, to McDonald's, and the Happy Meal option was extra fries or a thing of sliced apples.
Yeah.
There was no question they were going to get the extra fries. So that's how I raised my kids, That's probably wrong.
All right. Well, listen, if you want to jump in on this conversation or any other you hear on the radio, or if you've got a question about your own health, 919-860-9783 is the telephone number. Shame coming up. You ought to see what people are saying. You ought to hear what folks are saying, and they're saying it is wrong. That's coming up on the Shame segment on Heart Health Radio on the Heart Health Radio Network. This is Heart Health Radio. Our telephone number, 919-860-9783. Call anytime and get up on the show.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
we love it. When you call, don't be afraid. We're not going to, you know, your voice will sound good on the radio.
Oh, yeah.
And the questions that we've gotten are not surprisingly, but are amazingly great questions. And I think that your questions help, you know, what we're trying to do on this show, which is educate, get people to stop thinking in the wrong way and to accept the fact that modern medicine is a great thing. And you don't have to believe the stuff you read on Facebook about how crazy the world is.
Now, I have found a couple of articles this week or have been made aware about a couple of articles that one said it was from a website called Best Life, you know, sort of a lightweight article. The whole website is sort of, you know, quasi-health and medicine, and right. It says that you will – if you drink this, you'll become resistant to antibiotics. And
craziness.
It was artificial sweetener.
Yeah, and you know, the thing is that they do some studies here and there, and in a laboratory petri dish, some scientists will add aspartame to a bunch of bacteria in a dish and then add amoxicillin and say, well, you know, it didn't quite kill the amoxicillin didn't quite kill the bacteria as well. And then they'll translate that into don't drink aspartame. And, you know, there's no data. There's nothing to tell you that this is true. And so what's going to happen, don't go rushing off and drinking a sugared cola instead of a Diet Coke.
Right.
Because there's no evidence of this. And sugar is so bad for you. I've been harping on this for a long time. And sugar does so many bad things for your body. Of course, you know, I'm drinking a sugared Mountain Dew right now. But sugar causes inflammation. There's some evidence, again, I'm not going to say this is true, that the more sugar you eat, the more susceptible you may be to the bad COVID infections because of higher levels of inflammation.
Right.
So don't believe that. Don't believe that at all. I mean, that's just one of the things that I would call fake news.
There was another article that said that niacin, which is B3 or something like that.
Yeah, B3.
It would save you from a bunch of things.
Yeah, heart disease and, you know, dying of cancer. There is no evidence for this. And let me tell you, niacin can hurt you. There was a medicine that came out that was a slow-release niacin.
Yeah.
And why was it slow-release? Because you take a bunch of niacin and you are going to flush. And I mean your face is going to turn red.
Yeah.
And the other problem with niacin is it can really hurt your liver. You know, that's one of the things they said about statins. Don't take a statin. It can hurt your liver. Well, niacin, which is a quote-unquote natural compound, in very high doses, which is what it takes to lower your cholesterol.
Yeah.
It lowers the LDL and it raises the HDL. So they made a prescription brand. And guess what? When it was finally studied in the right way, a randomized, double-blind, controlled study, they gave half the thousands and thousands of people this controlled release, high dose niacin, and they gave the other placebo. It wasn't hard to tell who got the niacin because they all flushed. And guess what?
What?
Didn't help. It lowered, I mean, it raised the HDL, but just as many people in both arms got heart attack. So that medicine is off the market because it didn't work.
Right.
So don't rush off and start gobbling niacin or vitamin B3. They may hide it on the bottle and call it B3.
Yeah.
It's going to make you much more likely to get sick than it is to get well.
The article did a kind of a weird thing. And I just want to spotlight just a half a second here. What it did was it claimed that there were responsible, one of them was a link to the Mayo Clinic.
Mm.
It said the Mayo Clinic determined that, you know, niacin will help you beat X, Y, and Z.
Don't believe it.
Well, what it was, okay, if you're niacin deficient, right, you can get this
right,
disease.
And we've seen this with vitamin D. So
right.
People who are vitamin D deficient get, when they get COVID, they have a higher risk of having a serious complication from the COVID.
Right.
Well, then they said, let's supplement everybody with vitamin D. And they did that study, and the people who got supplemented with vitamin D did not get protected from a serious COVID illness. Now, what does that mean? It probably means that people who have a natural low vitamin D have some sort of defect in their body that they can't absorb vitamin D. I mean, you go out in the sun and you let the sun hit your arms every second or so, and somebody who knows this real, 25,000 units of vitamin D are produced in your skin.
Yeah.
And they estimate, again, this is not racist. Don't call me up and say I'm a racist. But this is why they think that people in northern latitudes don't have as much melanin, because the skin needs to absorb as much UV radiation as possible in the north, because you produce your own vitamin D. People who live toward the equator have more melanin because that protects them from the direct rays of the UV light, and they produce just as much vitamin D, but they don't get as much a chance of skin cancer. So again, there might be something wrong with people who have a low vitamin D level that makes them susceptible to a bad case of COVID. But giving them vitamin D didn't help.
Right.
So it's the same thing. The Mayo Clinic says those that are niacin deficient or B3 deficient are at higher risk for certain illnesses. But again, that doesn't mean if you take some, it makes you less susceptible. And so that's where the strangeness in medicine, I mean, it makes perfect sense in your mind that if you give yourself what you're deficient in, you'll be better.
Right, right.
And it doesn't work that way.
I'm deficient. You know, if I didn't drink my water every day, I would be in terrible shape.
You're better.
I'd be in terrible shape. Mm-hmm. But drinking 2 gallons of water every day probably is not going to improve my outlook.
Yeah,
really?
I've seen – well, yeah. I mean, you drink enough water, and what do they recommend now? 8 glasses a day. I don't recommend that for people with heart failure, because what happens to them is they fill up with fluid. They fill up with fluid more often. So before you go off and drink 8 glasses of water a day, make sure you don't have kidney failure or weak kidneys. Make sure you don't have heart failure. So it's the same deal. And I can't tell you the number of people who have heart failure who come in fluid overloaded every time. And most people don't ask that question. How much water are you drinking? And they're drinking too much water.
There's not enough time to get into it right now before we have to take a break. But Dr. Fauci says that you might have 6 months of immunity after getting the shot or the shots.
Another prediction.
And you're not a big fan of his predictions.
No. And you know, that's the problem. We should never make tried and true predictions in this.
This is Heart Health Radio.
Now back to Heart Health. Have a question for Dr. Wiefald? Call 919-860-9783.
This is Heart Health Radio. You can listen to Heart Health Radio on Apple Podcasts or at hearthealthradio.com, and you can participate in the show every Saturday from noon until 2 by calling 919-860-9783. You wanted to talk today about Weight Watchers.
Yeah.
Are they catching up to the no-no diet?
Let me tell you, Weight Watchers is pretty successful. I've got personal experience. My physician's assistant, way back when, about 15 years ago, lost 100 pounds on Weight Watchers.
Wow.
Now, how does Weight Watchers work? Back then, they didn't care about the type of food you ate. They had a points system.
Yeah.
So people would have these books, and they would read an apple, and that was 100 points.
Okay.
And you were supposed to have – and again, I can't remember how many points a day you were supposed to have. But what it was caloric restriction. Now, what does that mean? It means that most humans I used to eat 4,000 calories a day. It was just a tremendous amount of food. I never gained weight. So I had something in my gut that wouldn't let me absorb calories. But about 1,800 to 2,000 calories a day is what the average person eats. So it would be down to 1,400 calories or 1,300 calories. So once you got your points, you'd spread them out, I guess, and you'd lose weight, and you'd lose weight over time. Well, now they've wised up a little bit and understand that the types of things that we talk about, which are sugar and white flour products and white rice and white potatoes, now they've assigned those extra points because they realize that there is a thing called the glycemic index, or the amount of sugar equivalents that you take. Remember, a slice of Wonder Bread is equivalent to 5 teaspoons full of sugar, and people just don't realize that. And sugary things, simple carbohydrates, are what's turned into fat. So my diet recommendations are greens and meat are what you should eat.
Right.
And white flour products like biscuits, bread, and things like that, and sugar. And they both work pretty well if you're willing to restrict your calories. Now, when you hear a diet plan that says you can eat whatever type of food you eat, I want to put in very small quantities.
Right.
And
so
you have to make a choice. And I did Nutrisystem. Okay, that's the one Marie Osmond recommends. And I did Nutrisystem and I lost weight. But man, the portions were small.
Yeah.
And I was so hungry all the time.
Yeah.
And so you can do it with caloric restriction. Now, you remember Supersize Me? That was a movie where a guy went and got supersized from McDonald's every meal. And he gained 50 pounds in a month, and he felt like, you know what?
Yeah.
So another lady said, well, wait a minute. One of the nice things about Mickey D's is that everything you eat tells you the number of calories that are in that particular serving.
Yeah.
And so you know what she did?
What?
She went on the McDonald's diet, and she went there for breakfast, lunch, and supper. And she limited her intake to 1,200 to 1,300 calories a day. And in 3 months, she lost 50 pounds. Now, did she have sweets? Yeah. Did she have the cookies? Yeah. Did she have the Big Macs with bread? Yeah. But the way she did it was caloric restriction. Now, what she could have tried, and I'm sure that people have tried, is get that stuff at McDonald's, like a Big Mac, and eat only the greens and meat. Throw away the bun.
Yeah.
So I've had some people who have done the no-no or no-no equivalents, that's what I call them, which would be, you know, diets that exclude the white flour sugar products. And so they'd go to, for example, Burger King. And I tell you, do you like the Whoppers?
No, actually don't.
You don't?
No.
Oh, I love a Whopper.
Yeah?
But they would eat a Whopper without the bread. So they take off the bun and they'd eat the Whopper and they actually lost weight.
Not driving, of course. You know, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
You can't
eat when you drive?
Yes, I do.
I do too. It's terrible.
Of course.
And you know why
I do.
It's terrible for me?
Why?
Because I spill that juice and sauce all over my sweatshirt.
And you can't just eat the meat and cheese.
Well,
and
you
the
can
sauce.
If you don't mind your fingers being sticky, you know.
No, I'm just So is Weight Watchers on your good list?
Yeah, I think Weight Watchers works. But remember, you're going to be hungry, okay?
Yeah,
Because of caloric restriction.
I've managed to figure out how to lose weight. You know how you lose weight?
You don't eat.
I don't eat so much.
Yeah.
I just look at what I used to eat. I don't eat it.
Yeah, caloric restriction can happen.
Yeah.
It's called portion control.
Sure.
And the problem we have, and I've talked about this before, is you've got your mother in the back of your head with a wooden spoon about to hit you across the ears because you didn't finish your plate.
Yeah.
And so finishing your plate is one of the ways that we get fat, and that's because you eat too many calories. When you're full, stop. And the other thing to do is just remember what you used to put on your plate and cut it in half, or better yet, have somebody serve you. So in your family, and this is not a sexist thing. Let's reverse it.
Okay? Yeah,
Suppose you're a woman who wants to lose weight.
All right.
Have your husband put your food on your plate.
Oh, really?
And
I don't like him. I don't want him putting my food on my plate.
Right. And or the other way around. If you're an overweight man,
that pig,
have your wife or partner.
He shouldn't complain about my weight anyway.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He's not taking care of himself either. I almost got in trouble. We'll reverse it.
Okay.
The fat husband, have the wife put your portions down. Have your daughter put your portions down. And then if you're full, even with the smaller portion, don't finish it. Now, the other thing people don't do, drink 2 or 3 glasses of water at supper. When you eat the most, or whatever meal you eat the most, that will distend your stomach and make it less likely that you're going to overeat. So portion control works. It's caloric restriction.
See, the portion control in my family doesn't work because if my wife puts the food on my plate, she says, oh, I love him. I love him a lot. Let's give him more.
Yeah.
Let's give him more food.
Yeah.
She really is like that.
Yeah.
She actually set out my plate and she had to microwave some leftovers.
Yeah.
And she put twice as much food on the plate.
That's right.
Yes, it's a wonderful thing, but the problem I ate it all.
You know what the problem with me is? The biggest is spaghetti.
Yeah.
You know, even when I'm full, I want about 10 more bites. And why is that?
No.
It tastes good. And it's this feedback in your brain that sort of calms you down when you're eating food that has the texture and the taste that you grow accustomed to and love.
Fauci says that I'm good for about 6 months on this vaccine.
Okay,
is that
remember
right?
February of last year, over a year ago, he got on the news and said, COVID's not going to be a problem in the United States.
Yeah.
Wrong. Yeah. Then he said, masks aren't going to help us. And then he said, not only wear one mask, now we got to wear two masks. The predictions and the advice have been wrong enough that what I've learned as someone who has a radio show and has some, you know, influence in the community is don't make predictions.
Yeah.
Because this has been the worst endemic pandemic situation where everything has gone against what we thought it would be. Remember, it was 6 weeks and we'd be fine?
That's right.
No way. And we're over a year into this.
We are a year away from 2 weeks to flatten the curve.
And I predicted 10,000 cases. I'm off by 100 million. And so there's no way to predict this. And what's he stating? What's he basing this on? And that is the drop-off in antibody levels in people who have had COVID. And here's the big mistake is that every time you see someone who's caught COVID twice, it's on the news.
Mm-hmm.
And why is that?
Mm-hmm.
Things on the news are rare. Okay, so car wrecks you don't see too much unless they're spectacular 100 car wrecks because they're so common. Plane wrecks, any plane wreck is in the news because it's rare. You're safer in a commercial airplane than in any other form of transportation, including what? Walking across the street.
Yeah.
So if there's a plane crash, it's very spectacular. It's very rare, extremely rare to catch COVID twice. And when you do, there's something wrong with your immune system.
Uh-huh.
Terrible. And now you can't really tell how susceptible someone is to getting COVID again on the basis of their antibody levels. There are illnesses that we've had where our antibody levels are very small and very low. And why are we resistant to them? Because they're ignoring one of the major initial immune system protections that we have, and that's T cells.
Mm-hmm.
So T cells have nothing to do with antibodies. Now, let's just go over this again. Antibodies are little teeny Y-shaped proteins that latch on to an invader like a bacteria or a virus, and they recruit other cells, macrophages and T cells, to eat up and destroy those invaders. Well, there is an initial T cell response. These T cells are called natural born killers. Remember that movie?
Yeah.
Humans who are natural born killers? They're called killer T cells, and they're roaming around your system. They can attack things they've never seen before, number one. And number two, there are a lot of them with memory. And we don't quite understand the memory. But they'll be around and say, wait a minute, I remember that COVID.
Yeah.
I'm going to eat that thing.
Yeah.
And they do. So the idea you can predict on the basis of previous antibody levels that drop when you've naturally had COVID versus when they drop after the vaccine, it means that we've all got to have 6 months and then we got to shut up again and put our masks on and go hibernate. It's just a ridiculous prediction.
Now,
and what I would say is we don't know.
The states, I know you don't want to predict. States are now opening back up.
Yeah.
Students are going back to school.
Yeah.
Is it time?
Okay, let me put it this way. We cannot destroy our country any longer. And the country is being destroyed. We talked a little bit about doctors becoming dog groomers. Do you have any students in your family?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've talked to college kids. I have hired some high school kids who work in my office now because they have nothing else to do.
Right.
And I've said, go ahead. When it's time for class, go back in the back room and open up your computer and do your classes.
Right.
It's about 2 hours a day.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
And I don't know what we're doing to sacrifice over a year of education to our kids. And my daughter, thank God, I'll just say it, goes to Catholic school.
Yeah.
They have not stopped classes. They stopped them for 1 week when they had 8 new cases. And they said, okay, let's cut back for 2 weeks. And then they went back again. And she's there 3 days a week, and she's on her computer 2 days a week. And I've looked at her doing the computer work, and it is identical to classwork.
Right.
Now, we're lucky that we can afford it. We have high-speed internet. We have really, really good computers at home.
Yeah.
And it, you have to – this is what the kids do now, is that they're on Zoom.
Yeah.
They can block themselves in being on Zoom. And then go and have a Coke for 40 minutes and come back.
Walk away.
And find the teacher says, John, are you listening? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. You can't block your Zoom in my daughter's school. You have to be there and present. And so we've got to reopen, and we've got to accept the fact that we're going to get cases. And I'm going to say this now. The Hall of Shame for me every week is the teachers' unions of the public schools.
Uh-huh.
And you know who's getting hurt the most in this? It's the underprivileged. And I don't know if that's
sure
a bad word now. Are we allowed to say underprivileged?
You
I don't even
can,
know what.
Yes.
Have you seen the pictures of young students going to Starbucks in their neighborhoods? Why? Not to have a coffee or a $10 latte, but to use their free internet.
Right.
Because they don't have the internet. How much does your internet cost a month?
I have no idea. But
why?
It's at least 100.
Yeah, I don't know. I used to get the cable with my internet. But now that I've got all these apps,
right,
you know, I just get the internet. And it's like $90 a month.
Yeah.
But it's really fast and high speed.
Sure.
And a lot of underprivileged kids who live in the inner city and, don't forget,
yeah,
the ones who live in the rural areas who don't have internet to begin with.
That's right.
So we are wasting a year of education where we say you have to take a risk. Now, have you heard of a teacher dying of COVID?
No.
I don't think there's a teacher in my daughter's school who's gotten COVID from being in school. Now, there are several who've gotten COVID traced to an exposure in the community. So we've got to open up again. We've got to get these businesses back. And we have to accept the fact that there are people who are going to get COVID.
Okay.
And the ones who are susceptible, and you know who the number one and number two are susceptible, are the uncontrolled diabetics and the obese.
Yep.
And so they have to be really careful.
Well, that's why I'm lowering my blood sugar and I'm trying to lose weight.
And you're going to do it.
I'm going to do it. Telephone number here, 919-860-9783. We haven't had a phone call today. I'd love to hear from you.
We'd love to hear from you.
Any questions at all, Dr. Wefault has never been stumped. Well, maybe once or twice. But he's almost never been stumped on either a medicine that you're taking that he can explain why.
What have I been stumped on? You remember?
Got stumped on one or two.
Yeah.
I think the lady with the ophthalmological problem.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not an
optometrist. Yeah. Okay. So there's a contest. Stump Dr. Weefy.
All right. Stump Weefy. Call us up, 919-860-9783. This is the Heart Health Radio Network.
Well, you know you make me want to kick my heels up and down.
This is Heart Health Radio. Get better, stay healthy, and spot medical misinformation by listening every single week. On the shout-out today, Annie Louise Wilkerson.
Did you know she has a nature reserve park, too?
I did not know that.
Well, let me just say this. Women at Dr. Wilkerson was an OBGYN.
Yes.
And was it 8,000 babies she delivered. But that's not what's so fantastic about her It's that she became a prominent physician in the day when women were not doctors in general.
Right.
And it was back when it was called Wake Memorial Hospital. And she was the first woman to complete an internship and residency, and it was at Rex. And so then she went to Wake Med.
Yeah.
And just a fantastic physician. And this was in the 1930s and 40s.
Uh-huh.
And I just want to shout her out because nobody can say that they did as much, not only to deliver healthy children in this community, but to build up the concept that women can be just as good, if not better, physicians than men. And her home is near Falls Lake, mm-hmm. and now it's a nature preserve. I recommend that if you have the time and you have the inclination, go see this nature park because there's lots of little knickknacks and trivia about her. And I just can't get enough of her. There is on WRAL.com an article about her, and there's a couple of really nice pictures of her.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just a fantastic lady, a fantastic doctor, and a fantastic individual who really did a lot for our community and for medicine in general.
Snoopy's on Hillsborough Street in Raleigh is closing.
Now, here's the thing I want to tell you. Most doctors on the radio are going to say, what, you had a hot dog? Are you crazy? And I believe that if you went to Snoopy's once a month or twice a month, you got the best hot dog in Raleigh. Now, what's happened? It's a COVID-19 victim, and we're losing a cultural tradition in Wake County and in Raleigh as Snoopy's is closing.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, I used to love at 11 o'clock at night, 10 o'clock at night, running down there and getting – what'd you get on your hot dog? I got ketchup.
Yeah.
Chili and onions.
Oh,
but they
no.
could do it any way you wanted. And I also like hot dog stands. So there is a Lowe's that I go to every now and then, which is a home improvement store.
Right.
And the reason?
They got a hot dog.
They have a hot dog stand out front. And so here's what I want to tell you. If you're on the no-no diet, no-no is not 100% no-no. No-no is like what your mother said. No.
No, but still, every now and then.
Yeah, okay. And you've got to enjoy your life. And so, yes, the enemies are what we talked about, white flour, sugar, white potatoes, and white rice. That doesn't mean that you can't do that every now and then. Now,
and if my blood pressure is okay, a salty hot dog is not that bad.
You shouldn't do it all the time. Now, let me tell you an example. I had a guy the other day who's been 400 pounds and a high blood pressure thing, and I would ask him, what do you eat? I said, I don't eat anything. So I finally got his wife.
He's 400 pounds.
Right.
Of course he does.
A food diary.
Yeah.
And what is that? She would serve him food.
Yeah.
And she would secretly write down everything he had. It's six hot dogs for dinner the night before he saw me.
They're small.
Yeah. And so,
getting
him on the right track is going to be a very difficult thing.
Yeah.
And you know what I'm going to recommend he has?
What?
Gastric bypass surgery, because it works and because when your stomach is shrunk because it's been sliced and diced and rearranged, you're not going to want to eat six hot dogs a night. And the other thing is that it changes the bacteria that are in your gut. So even if he overeats hot dogs, it's much less likely that those buns are going to be turned into individual sugar molecules and then stored as fat. I'm a big believer in gastric bypass surgery for the morbidly obese. And I'm talking about body mass index is greater than 40, 350 pounders, 400 pounders. And it works. And now the general medical community is being educated about how it works and how well it works. And now the fact that they can do the surgery through laparoscopic means and they do it well, I highly recommend that if you're morbidly obese and you can't lose weight, that you find a doctor who believes in gastric bypass surgery and go for it.
You think the insurance companies are going to go for it?
Oh, they're paying for it.
Are they really?
Oh, yes. And here's the problem with insurance companies.
We don't have enough time.
Well, let me. We have a few minutes before we take the break. Have you switched your insurance from
no.
year to year?
And no,
why?
No.
Because you work for the state.
That's right.
I used to shop around. Okay? And so I would switch from United Healthcare, and then the broker would come and I'd go back to Blue Cross Blue Shield, and then another broker would come and I'd go to Aetna. And so the insurance companies weren't paying for procedures and for medicines that would provide a long-term benefit.
Right.
Because they were short-term.
Right.
I could save money by not giving out this medicine, even though in 4 or 5 years it would show a benefit. But now I think they're getting smarter, and I've stuck with Blue Cross Blue Shield. And I will say this, it's the best insurance I've had. I got a $6,000 deductible. It's affordable. I self-insure that $6,000 deductible for my employees, and I've still made out like a bandit. I'm saving $72,000 a year, and if I'd gotten a $500 deductible, it would have been way much more than an extra $72,000. And they're paying. They're paying for the more expensive medicines that, for example, reduce your risk of having a diabetic complication.
Right.
And they're paying for them, and I think they're being smart because they're recognizing that if people really like their insurance, they're going to stick with it. And not only that, their company's going to see the benefit 4 or 5 years down the line.
Some of my diabetic medicine is horribly expensive.
Oh, yeah.
If I were to buy it, I could not afford it.
You know, the GLP-1 inhibitors such as Trulicity.
Right.
$500 a month.
Right.
$600 a month.
That's right.
Can't afford that.
I can't. I could not afford the arm patch thing
how much
that I
was
get.
That?
This I'm is paying the, $50.
Really?
I'm paying
but how
50
much
bucks
would
for...
you have had to pay? Which one did you get? You remember the name?
Yeah, it's no, I don't remember.
Yeah, I'm blanking on the name too.
That's all right.
But anyway, it's a really great thing if you're a diabetic because you stick it in your arm. And oh, Freestyle Libre. Is that
that's
the one
it.
You got?
Libre. Yeah. Yeah.
And there's another one, Dexcom. Boy, isn't that funny how it just suddenly pours out when you can't remember?
We've got to take a break.
No way.
This is Heart Health Radio. Another hour coming up.
Welcome to Heart Health Radio with board-certified cardiologist and internal medicine specialist, Dr. Franklin Weefall.
Heart Health Radio. Heart Health Radio. Oh, oh, oh. HeartHealthRadio.com. Heart Health Radio.
Heart Health Radio is meant for information purposes only. Before taking any action, talk to your doctor.
Get better, stay healthy, and spot medical misinformation just by listening to the radio show, but even better, by participating.
Call in.
Yeah, 919-860-9783. No question is out of bounds. Well, I mean, some.
Well, I don't know.
Relationship questions completely out of bounds. But medical stuff, Dr. Weefald will handle.
Absolutely.
We're going to talk about, we're going to continue that conversation about weight loss and medical weight loss. In other words, talk to your doctor about this.
You know, it's funny. Because we treat high blood pressure, major health problem.
Yes.
We intensively treat diabetes.
Right.
Major health problem. But one of the worst health problems in the United States of America is morbid obesity and moderate obesity. And yet, all we ever do is sort of say, hey, stop eating this, stop eating that, walk, exercise.
Yeah, but
we don't address it as a medical problem.
You know, I think half of it. There is competition out there for patients. Some doctors do not want to hit you in the head with that one thing.
That's your fat.
That 800-pound elephant in the room, pardon the expression, that you're saying, kid, you just got to lose weight.
Right. So fat shaming is probably the reason why physicians are hesitant to talk about it. Now, let me tell you what I do. I usually don't introduce the fact I usually don't introduce the fact that we got to know that you're fat or be. I don't use
you
that
just
term.
Hint at it. You just
no. I usually second or third visit.
Yeah,
and I explain to them that it is a and we know now that it is a metabolic problem. So I would say to them, you know, you got high blood pressure. That's a metabolic problem. I eat salt. and I eat all sorts of bad things, and my blood pressure is good. I don't have diabetes, and I eat sugar. We're
right.
different.
Right.
I try to explain that it's a metabolic problem that needs to be addressed, just like you use medicines for high blood pressure and medicines for diabetes.
So maybe we need to use – we'll pick up on this in just
yes,
a bit.
Yes, we got some callers.
Medicine to
– So we're going to talk about medicines that your doctor can prescribe
yeah.
to help you lose weight.
Sue in Apex, thank you very much for joining us. How you doing, Sue?
Hi there. I just had a question.
Yes.
Let's see. Regarding COVID vaccines, mm-hmm. my husband has had one and getting ready to have two.
Great.
My brother has had two, and they're both at risk. And I'm in group four, so I'm waiting for March 24th. I'm very anxious to take it. But a couple of close relatives and also a couple of people I work closely with in my office are not planning to get the vaccine.
Yeah.
I guess, does the vaccine kind of protect you fairly well against unvaccinated people? Or, I don't want to confirm it, but what's the take on all of this?
Yeah, my take on this is that it's unfortunate that we've had some anti-vaxxers get into the mainstream. I think you're doing the right thing. Now, suppose there are 10 people in your office who got the vaccine and two that haven't. You can't force somebody at work to get the vaccine. And why is that? Because it's not officially approved. It's approved on an emergency basis. So the rules are, unless a vaccine is officially approved, you can't exclude someone from work who hasn't had the vaccine. I think you're pretty well protected as much as possible. So think about it. You're going to get the Moderna, or you're going to get?
I don't know. I'll get.
Yeah. The what about hubby? What did he get? Does he know? He must know.
I'm going to end up with.
What did hubby get?
I'm sorry.
What did your husband get? What
Moderna? He got Moderna. He's waiting for the second shot.
Yeah, I got two of Moderna. I think that Dave, you got Moderna, right?
Yes, I did.
So I think that Moderna is probably 75% effective. Like the J&J, against all the strains. Okay, you heard 92%. Mm-hmm. That was the easy strain. That was the original strain.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that mean? That means that it's going to be very unlikely. Remember that. Only 25% chance of even contracting COVID. But with the vaccines, the chance you're going to be hospitalized is very low, and the chance you're going to die from COVID is almost infinitesimal. I hate to use that term. It's very, very low. So going to work, I think that we will still have to wear masks until the powers that be say we've reached herd immunity. But I think you can feel comfortable that you have a much lower risk than you do now of contracting COVID, but even more so, a much lower risk of getting really sick from it.
That's good to know, because of course, the work.
Yeah.
During the day, I go home at night. But, these relatives, they might come for holidays and so forth. So.
Yeah, and you're doing the right thing. I mean, you're protecting yourself. But not only that, I want people to know, if you're one of those people who believes that we have a duty in this country, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. That's mm-hmm. JFK, mm-hmm. one of my favorite presidents, because he really believed in public service. You're doing it. The country a favor by getting any one of the vaccines. And so I have an American flag hanging out my door. And what does that mean? It means mm-hmm. I believe in the US of A that we all chip in. And so I'm going to pat you on the back because you want that vaccine as soon as possible. And I think that's great.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much, Dr. Refall.
You're a great American.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sue. Bob in West Raleigh, thank you very much for calling. What's going on, Bob?
Hey, Dave.
Hey.
You guys wanted to talk about polychondritis.
Yeah.
Yes.
Relapsing polychondritis. Let's talk about it.
I have three quick comments before we get into this.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead, Bob.
One is, Dave, you'll be happy to know that Brock, your pal,
yeah.
Radiant Barrier, is going to be over at my house
after
tomorrow.
That's great.
Yeah.
Brock from the other show.
Second is, when you were talking about the caloric counting and all that,
yeah,
it dawned on me that if Mama Cass and Karen Carpenter
one
another,
no,
they'd still be with us.
Oh, God. Thank you, Bob.
Okay, and the third item is about the safe form of travel.
Yes.
If you look at the statistics, commercial airline travel is actually number two.
Yeah?
The safest form of transportation is the Rascal.
The what? The Rascal scooter?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, come on.
Thank you for sharing that, Bob.
Is that really true? I mean, I believe you. But
I believe Bob about everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, of course.
So polychondritis, yeah. What is it?
It's an autoimmune disease, and it is genetic, and it can cause a really bad inflammation in the cartilages, so the nose and the ears, and it's recurrent swelling and inflammation of the cartilage. And it's really tough to treat, and it's really tough, even tougher to have, because it is really, really a tough thing.
Yeah.
Do you have it, Bob?
Yes, I'm afraid I do.
What were your initial symptoms?
Well, first my ears started getting floppy.
Oh, okay. They didn't swell up and get red?
No, not it wasn't severe at all.
Mm-hmm.
It was just enough to notice. Mm-hmm. And one of them sticks out farther than the other one now. But the real killer was when my nose got attacked. And let me tell you, this is a 3 in a million occurrence.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's extremely rare.
It's rather. And the average time from onset of symptoms to diagnosis is 2.9 years.
Yeah, because I missed
so
it.
So few people know how to recognize it.
Did you hear my story about when I was an intern?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I admitted this guy from the emergency room at Johns Hopkins. It's called the accident room. And I started giving him antibiotics. He had a red, tender ear.
Yeah.
And this is what impressed me about Johns Hopkins. This guy was a cardiologist, and he walked in. It's called the attending. So he supervised us for a month. And I gave my whole spiel and said, he has cellulitis of the ear. And he looked at me and he said, Frank, that's an excellent thought. But he has relapsing polychondritis. And so we gave him the appropriate medications initially and got it under control. Are you taking any medicine right now?
Yeah, methotrexate.
Yeah, does it work?
And folic acid is a supplement. Well, yes.
Great.
I've had in the 4 years, 5 years since I've had it diagnosed, I've had three flares.
Okay. Do they give you prednisone for those flares? Steroids?
Correct. Yeah. Dose pack, yeah.
So it's an autoimmune disease, methotrexate.
Yeah.
It is a tremendous medicine. And it's unsung because so many people are afraid to give it. I use methotrexate not all the time, but I use methotrexate for a lot of conditions, especially refractory psoriasis. And, I mean, God, it's cheap. You don't pay much for your methotrexate, do you?
How much?
Yeah, you don't pay much for it, do you?
I'm taking 3 a week.
Yeah, so it's 2.5 milligram tablets.
Right, yeah.
And you take 3 of them or 4 of them.
All right.
Some I've had to go to 6. And it's a great medicine because it prevents the reproduction of the immune cells that attack Bob's ear or Bob's nose. The folic acid, the reason why you give that is because with folic acid, it prevents, as a vitamin, it's a B vitamin, it prevents the other cells from being attacked by methotrexate. And so people don't use it because they're afraid of liver toxicity. You got to check the liver.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some individuals where it really does wipe out your whole bone marrow. So how often, Bob, are you getting your blood tested while taking methotrexate?
6 weeks.
Every 6 weeks. That's right. I do it every month because I'm a little paranoid. But guess how many I've had to stop it on? Zero.
Well, I'm paranoid of going out in public because
of
the immunosuppression effect.
Well, let me tell you, what's interesting about methotrexate is it's actually less of an immunosuppressant as some of the other medicines we use, like Humira. That's an injectable monoclonal antibody that attacks certain parts of our immune system. I think your doctor is way on track with the methotrexate as an initial therapy. And then giving you pulses of steroids to really knock out the immune system when it comes back. You do need to be careful because, yes, you are a little more susceptible to other illnesses and stuff like that because of infectious disease being, controlled, being wiped out by the immune system. So I would wash hands all the time. Now, obviously, you're wearing a mask. But, it's interesting. You may actually, if you get COVID, have a less of a chance of getting the deadly part of it, because your immune system is exactly what we try to do, which is prevent overreaction of the immune system. So interestingly, I think you've got a two-edged sword. And how are your symptoms in general? Do you only have flares every now and then? Did it attack you enough that you've got deformities in your nose and ear permanently?
Oh, God, yes. My nose is totally collapsed. There's like no cartilage.
So you have the saddled nose deformity.
Indeed.
Yeah.
And which in turn creates a much bigger pressure drop across my airways.
Yeah.
Which means my breathing is labored.
Yeah. Well, it can affect the trachea. You know, the trachea is that hard thing that's made out of cartilage. Yep. Very rarely it can affect the heart, because there's, believe it or not, connective tissue in the heart that holds the structure together. I mean, if you didn't have connective tissue in your heart, it'd be a blob that just floats around and goes, you know, blah, 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 blah. It can affect the GI tract. So everybody thinks of it as that schnoz in the ear, but it really can get you going. And it's a very difficult thing to diagnose. Now, do you see a rheumatologist or an internal medicine specialist for your problem?
My primary care man at Wake Internal is a...
That's a great practice, by the way.
Internist, of course.
That's a great practice.
I see an ENT, the guy who was the first one to recognize the symptoms, a fellow named Douglas Holmes, who's fantastic guy. And then I see a rheumatologist, Walter Shemileski, who runs the Triangle Arthritis and Rheumatism Associate.
Yeah. How about eye doctor? It's very frequent that the people with your illness get cataracts.
Yep, Robert Stone. I've had both eyes lenses replaced already.
Well, I tell you, I'm really proud of you. I mean, it's a very difficult thing to live with. It sounds like you've got a good attitude about it. And, you know, do you feel bad going to public in terms of your nose and stuff like that?
Oh, absolutely. I go nowhere.
Come on. You know what? Let me tell you something. And it's easier for me to say, because I'm a physician and I take care of people with your condition, is be proud of yourself. You couldn't help this. This is not your fault. And, you know, when people give you, you know, a hard time about it, what you say is it's their problem, not mine.
That's right.
And you have people who love you, and that's what counts. And you got us here on the radio who recognize that you're a hero. And living through this is extremely difficult. And it sounds like...
I don't see anybody, at least in the last year, so...
Yeah, that's right.
Problem.
That's right.
As far as cosmetically goes.
I understand.
I go nowhere other than in clinic, in hospital, and I donate blood every 8 weeks.
Well, God bless you.
Good for you. Good for you.
That's the only places I go.
Well, I tell you what, I'm going to have you come over to my house. How's that sound? I'm not your patient. I mean, you're not my patient, so I can have you over.
Yeah. Do you offer an open bar?
Yeah.
All right. All right, guys. How do I break this up? Bob, thank you.
God bless you.
You guys take care.
Okay. All right. Take care of yourself. We're going to pick up with Art in just a moment. This is Heart Health Radio on the Heart Health Radio Network. This is the Heart Health Radio Network, where the telephone number is 919-860-9783. A couple of minutes from now, we're going to talk with Dr. Charles Ashley Mann, family and cosmetic dentist, and we're going to tell you, he's actually my dentist. We're not going to talk about me. We're going to talk about some of the alternatives to CPAP.
I think that's really important. So many people can't tolerate the mask.
If he can figure out a way that I can stop wearing that mask, that might be a good thing.
Yeah.
Art in Raleigh, you are on the radio. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Good afternoon, Dr. Wiefeld.
Hi, how are you?
Two questions.
Yeah.
One, my wife and I are getting our second Moderna shot this Friday.
Great.
She's curious to know when she can take allergy medicine. She's taking an off version of Claritin, I think.
Take them. Don't even worry about it.
No problem at all.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, all this stuff about how, you know, all these things are going to reduce your response. They really don't. And you know, I'm glad that finally Fauci has said, yeah, I was wrong. You can take Tylenol. You can take Advil. Just take them. In fact, it's the best thing to do when you get a reaction.
Sure.
You know, my first vaccine, piece of cake.
Yeah.
My second, about a day later, I got muscle aches, low-grade fever, arm discomfort. I took two Advil, two Tylenol once, and I felt better.
Yeah, no, this is the allergy medicine. I'm not worried.
Yeah.
I had the same reaction. We had a
same thing.
Sore shoulder. Oh, the allergies, no problem. Okay. Second question. Several months ago, or maybe it was less than that, you suggested an ointment to stop bleeding.
An ointment or a gauze pad?
Bleeding of like the leg or something.
Yeah, it's called, oh my gosh, what is it? QuikClot,
QuikClot.
Yeah, CLOT.
CLOT.
And it used to be at Walmart. I've heard sometimes Walmart doesn't have it. Now, Georgia clay, believe it or not, the active ingredient is from a clay pit in Georgia. It's called calicrine. And this mineral causes your blood to clot. So it used to be the QuikClot was a powder and you poured it on. Well, now they've learned a way to put it on a gauze pad.
Oh.
Yeah. So it looks just like a regular gauze pad, but it stops clotting a lot quicker. Now, remember, you just don't put a pad on and leave it there. Pressure is the most important thing in stopping bleeding.
Yes.
Because the pressure, as the platelets and the blood come to the surface, if there's pressure, it stops them from flowing out. Mm-hmm. And when the blood pools, it clots more simply. So if you're on warfarin, if you're on Eliquis, you will stop bleeding. And you'll stop bleeding more quickly if you put a QuikClot on and you put pressure on. If you can't hold it for a long time, you ever heard of horse tape, Coban?
No.
You can pile a bunch of gauzes on, maybe one QuikClot plus three gauzes on top, and wrap it tight. You don't want to leave that on for a couple hours, okay? Because then you'll cut off circulation.
Fine, yeah. My one incident I had, I held it with my hand till the medics came to check it out. So, yeah, I think I can do that.
Yeah, you can get it on Amazon.
Very good.
You can get it on Amazon.
Art,
okay,
thank you.
You answered both my questions.
Great.
So have a great day.
We're you too. I'm so glad you called.
Glad we helped you out. Thank you, Art. I appreciate your phone call. So statin's good for me, huh?
Oh, yeah.
My statin, yeah. I take atorvastatin.
Yeah.
It's not only good for my heart.
Yeah, it's good for your heart in two ways, but it's also good, apparently, for COVID. It's fantastic.
Really?
Yes. And there's a reason why. Not the statin. Okay. You give somebody a statin who's had a heart attack, and within a month, you have a lower risk of another heart attack. Now, that can't be from cholesterol, right?
Right.
Because the cholesterol builds up slowly, and it goes away slowly.
Right.
They found that one of the best things that a statin does is reduce inflammation, because we've talked about it before. Inflammation in the artery, in the plaque, causes it to crack and form a clot. So when you reduce inflammation, you reduce the risk of a heart attack. Now, what is wrong with COVID in terms of a serious illness? It hijacks your immune system and pours out cytokines and causes the inflammation to go up. Apparently, the anti-inflammatory effect of a statin that helps the heart also affects how COVID can get you. And In some studies, there's a 50% less chance of having serious COVID if you take a statin.
Along with this whole idea, statin's one of the drugs I take to prevent I've got now.
I take one.
But I've got cholesterol. I've got buildup.
So do I. And I used to have buildup.
Right. You used to have
Mine's
buildup.
Mine's gone.
We don't have time to dig into it, but we're going to – doctor's been giving me some advice. As you may know, I'm having heart surgery. They used to call it open heart surgery. Is that the phrase?
What would I say? I would say that you're having coronary revascularization.
Thank you.
Via a surgical approach.
Good. Yes, with a saw and a knife. And anyway,
he just had a pucker.
I know, I did. This is terrible. He's going to give me some advice on the air in just a little bit, and I want to talk about never, ever going through this again, because some people have gone through this more than once.
Yeah. You know what the number one thing in terms of short-term efficacy and survival? Quality of the surgery.
Okay. We'll talk about that. We're going to talk with Dr. Charles Ashley Mann in just a little bit, and a whole lot more, including new iPhones causing some trouble. That's next.
Welcome to Heart Health with board-certified cardiologist and internal medicine specialist, Dr. Franklin Weefald. Call us with your health questions at 919-860-9783.
You can listen to Heart Health Radio on Apple Podcasts or at hearthealthradio.com on your schedule. I'm Dave Alexander. This is Dr. Franklin Weefald, and on the line with us is Dr. Charles Ashley Mann, who is a dentist and operates a family and cosmetic dentistry practice in the Raleigh area. And I'm having a hard time pushing the button to get Dr. Mann on the radio. Thank you. Dr. Mann, hi, first of
all.
Hello. Hey.
I am so glad to have you on. First of all, I want to tell you that Dr. A in your practice in Fuquay did very well with my teeth.
Oh, well, good.
And you're
great.
What is Dr. A's real name?
What is Dr. A's real name? It's fairly long.
Well, his name is Dr. Daniel Amaradakis.
Amaradakis.
Greek?
But he grew up in Brazil. So.
Oh, cool.
he's
kind of like me, half Chinese, half Norwegian, all crazy.
So, Dr. Mann, there's two things I think we want to talk about. You've got some sort of solution for me to get rid of my CPAP machine, because I've got this sleep apnea. Is there a dental solution?
Yes, there is. And the CPAP is a very good machine if you can get used to it, because it treats sleep apnea. Basically, what sleep apnea is when your airway closes off and it restricts the amount of oxygen that you're able to get at night. A lot of people are undiagnosed with sleep apnea,
right?
And a lot of people have been diagnosed. They don't comply with their CPAP, or they're scared and they don't move forward with the CPAP because they know they probably won't use it.
Yeah.
But yes, we make a dental appliance called a mandibular advancement device, and what that does is it moves your lower jaw slightly outward. And
right.
What that does is that opens up your airway, and it tightens the tissue in the back of your throat that closes you off at night. A lot of times when we sleep on our back, which is the number one position that we see obstructive sleep apnea, your lower jaw tends to want to fall backwards, if you can imagine, due to gravity.
Yeah.
And the fact that our joints relax. And when it falls back, it pushes your tongue and all that soft tissue to the back of your throat.
Right.
Well, when that closes your throat off, the amount of oxygen you get can go down, and that's called hypopnea. That means when you're not getting enough oxygen. And apnea is when it completely closes off, and you're not getting any oxygen. So you can imagine trying to hold your breath for 30 seconds to a minute, okay? Well, if you're doing that multiple times during any given hour throughout the night, an eight-hour sleep time, you're putting your heart through a lot of stress.
Oh, it's so terrible on the heart.
Heart is what sends oxygen throughout your body.
Yep.
And so when there's a little amount of oxygen, your SpO2, or your oxygen saturation, your blood drops to a level that tells your brain to, hey, I need to get that heart to start beating faster so we can get oxygen to all the cells and the brain and the tissue. And so your heart starts working harder. So we see an increase with cardiac events for those people who have sleep apnea that don't treat it, either with an appliance or with the CPAP.
Yeah.
There are studies that show if you go with sleep apnea untreated, it takes about 12 to 15 years off your life. So it's one of those things that we really need to, and a lot of doctors are more trained now to recognize that there are a lot of comorbidities associated with sleep apnea.
Dr. Mann, now, will this prevent me from snoring?
Absolutely, yeah. One of
really?
The things that causes snoring is that soft tissue I talked about in the back
right.
of the throat. So when the air is being forced over that soft tissue, that is what creates the snoring sound. And so that's air trying to be forced down into your lungs through that narrow air passage.
Is this a Dr. Mann, is this something that I need to be fitted for, or is this?
Yeah, so it fits over your teeth.
Yeah.
It's like an appliance, like a mouth guard would fit over your teeth. And the good thing about today's technology is we can 3D print this. So it's very thin.
That is so cool.
There's an upper appliance and a lower appliance, and it actually holds that lower jaw out. We can actually titrate it out about a half a millimeter at a time until we get to the position where you're not snoring and you don't have apnea anymore.
So you like titrate it. You move it up a little, see if it works, move it up a little more.
Well, what we do is we have something called a volume barometric system.
Uh-huh.
We can actually determine chair side where we want to set it to begin with. And that's usually in about 90% accurate. Most mm-hmm. people, we don't have to move it forward after that.
Wow.
You don't want to randomly just start at a place. You want to know exactly close to where the patient can breathe properly.
Mm-hmm.
And we do that by sitting them back in the chair, having them positioned on their back. And then we put these little air metric blocks in their mouth with their jaw forward. And also we open them up slightly vertically. And we have them breathe in, and we can determine where they need to be so that when we make that appliance, they start at that position. But if we do need to move it forward, then we can titrate it out.
Well, listen, I'm really glad because that we have you on the show, because I'm going to tell you, I don't know any dentists who will even look at this for my patients. I mean, you're probably one of the few that really have a practice bent on this. Is that correct?
Yeah, well I think the American Dental Association has really pushed in this past given year that dentists start screening for it. And, of course, you know how it is in any medical field. It takes a while for everyone to get aboard. I've been screening for sleep apnea now for about 8 years.
Yeah.
And because I'm looking in the mouth and I can see it with enlarged tongues. And a lot of people with sleep apnea will have striations on the side of their tongue.
Mm-hmm.
The malum petty is a 3 or 4. You know they're not breathing. A lot of obesity. So we've been screening for it now, but I think the American Dental Association is playing a big part, and hopefully within the next 3 to 5 years, most dentists will be screening for it.
Fantastic.
All right. So the website is Smile Mann. Be aware that Dr. Mann's name, his last name, ends with 2 N's. So
well, that's,
Smile
that's
Mann.
That's not unusual.
No. Well, I'm just saying if you want to go to the website.
Smile Mann.
Smile Mann. You're right. SmileMann.com. And Dr. Mann, you've got offices in Fuquay. You're also where else?
In Cary, Garner, and Fuquay.
Very good. All right. Thank you, Dr. Mann. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
I'm glad for the updates.
Thank you so much.
Dr. Charles Ashley Mann. Again, SmileMann.com. Yeah, he's doing the chip on my tooth, the tiny chip on one of my teeth. He's going to be doing my final cleaning.
Mm-hmm.
And they did a full deep clean on my teeth. And, I'm going to get Hollywood teeth. I'm getting Hollywood white on my teeth.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm getting the laser.
It'll be as nice as mine?
Nearly as nice as your smile, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Dr. Mann. Telephone number around here at the Radio Ranch is 919-860-9783 of the Heart Health Radio Network. So I'm going to have some work done.
Yeah.
I'm going to have this heart thing fixed.
Uh-huh.
I have, believe it or not, a clog, which is 100%. I have 100%.
And how is it that your heart's still alive?
How am I still walking around?
Yeah. Okay, so most of the time, the blood flows northward. I mean, forward through three arteries.
Sure.
The right coronary artery comes off the aorta on the right side, and as the heart pumps, most of the blood goes out through the big pipe, the aorta.
Uh-huh.
But some of it sneaks down this artery on the right. Some of it sneaks into the left main and goes into the artery down the front of the heart called the left anterior descending, and then around the left side called the circumflex.
Well, sure.
When an artery gets blocked, believe it or not, you can self-bypass. Now, that doesn't mean that your body, opens up and does that.
No.
And does a bypass surgery on its own. There's something called a collateral vessel. And the interesting thing, some people get them And yeah. some people don't.
Uh-huh.
And some doctors think that they're there or they're not there. In other words, they just pop open because you happen to be genetically predisposed to have an artery open from, say, the left anterior descending. Your right occludes. Little branches connect to the right, and then the right flows backwards from the forward blood flow
okay.
in the other artery.
Okay.
Now, some people think they grow, okay, so that when you have a blocked artery and there's not enough blood flow to that back part of the heart or some other part of the heart,
uh-huh.
it causes the blood vessels that are okay
yeah.
to start creeping along.
You think?
And feed. I don't know what the answer is, but I do know that I have a lot of patients with collaterals.
Okay.
Now, just because you have a collateral doesn't mean that you're bypassed. Most collaterals are not strong enough to feed that artery that is occluded.
Okay.
So I bet you dollars to donuts he's going to bypass that